to the African American Hour. I'm Rosemary Onkwe, bringing you readings from the following publications: The Griot, The Root, Ebony, Blavity, AARP News, BBC Sport, and The Voice Health News. Today we'll begin our reading from an article from The Voice Health News titled, From There to Here, How Much Smoking Has Declined and How America Did It, June 3, 2026. Cigarette smoking in the United States has reached one of its lowest levels ever recorded, a dramatic change from a time when lighting up was a routine part of daily life for millions of Americans. Today, about 11% of U.S. adults smoke cigarettes, according to federal health data. That's a fraction of the roughly 42% of adults who smoked in 1965, when the nation was just beginning to confront evidence linking cigarettes to lung cancer and other serious diseases. The decline represents one of the most significant public health transformations in modern American history. For younger Americans, it may be difficult to imagine how common smoking once was. Cigarettes were smoked in offices, restaurants, airplanes, hospitals, schools, and homes. Tobacco companies sponsored television programs, sporting events, and some of the most recognizable advertising campaigns in the country. The turning point came in 1964 when U.S. Surgeon General Luther Terry, Luther Terry, released a landmark report concluding that cigarette smoking caused lung cancer and other serious health problems. The report fundamentally changed the national conversation about smoking and is widely considered the beginning of America's long campaign to reduce tobacco use. Congress followed with the Federal Cigarette Labeling and Advertising Act of 1965, requiring warning labels on cigarette packages. The first warnings were relatively simple, cautioning consumers that smoking could be hazardous to their health. Over time, those warnings became stronger and more direct. Another major change came in 1971, when cigarette advertising was banned from television and radio. For decades before the ban, tobacco companies had used popular television shows and sports broadcasts to market their products to millions of Americans. As research continued, attention expanded beyond smokers themselves. Scientists found that secondhand smoke could also cause health problems, leading to a new wave of restrictions on where people could smoke. One of the most visible changes came on airplanes. Smoking was gradually restricted on domestic flights beginning in the late 1980s and eventually prohibited on virtually all flights to and from the United States. Cities and states also began adopting smoke-free laws for restaurants, workplaces, and public buildings. In Kansas, the Kansas Indoor Clean Air Act took effect in 2010, prohibiting smoking in most indoor public spaces. Missouri took a different approach. Unlike Kansas, which enacted a statewide indoor smoking ban, Missouri relies largely on a patchwork of local smoke-free ordinances. The state adopted its Indoor Clean Air Act in 1992, requiring non-smoking sections in many public spaces. As a result, smoking regulations can vary from one Missouri community to another. Health officials also focused on preventing young people from becoming smokers. Age restrictions, identification requirements, limits on youth-focused advertising, and other measures were designed to keep cigarettes out of the hands of minors. In 2019, the federal minimum age to purchase tobacco products was raised from 18 to 21. Researchers say no single law or policy caused smoking rates to fall. Instead, the decline resulted from decades of public education campaigns, warning labels, advertising restrictions, smoke-free laws, higher tobacco taxes, and changing social attitudes. Part of the decline also reflects generational change. Many of the Americans who came of age when smoking was most common are now in their late 70s, 80s, and 90s. But public health experts say the larger story is not that older smokers have died. It is that younger generations have been far less likely to start smoking in the first place. That may be the clearest sign of how much America has changed. What began with a Surgeon General's warning more than 60 years ago has gradually transformed smoking from a widely accepted part of everyday life into a habit practiced by a shrinking share of the population. Today, many Americans have never experienced the smoke-filled restaurants, offices, and airplanes that once seemed perfectly normal, a reminder of just how far the country has come. This article was titled, "From There to Here: How Much Smoking Has Declined and How America Did It," by The Voice Health News, The Voice, June 3rd, 2026. The next article is from The Griot and is titled, "Megan Good, Patti LaBelle, and Tyler Perry Honored at Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards Celebrating Black Excellence," written by Bobby Penn, P-E-N, June 7th, 2026. The biggest names in entertainment stepped out in style this weekend as the 6th annual Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards celebrate the artists, entrepreneurs, and changemakers shaping culture on and off the screen. Actress Megan Good, music legend Patti LaBelle, were among the honorees recognized during the annual event founded by Hollywood Unlocked CEO Jason Lee. The ceremony celebrates artists, entrepreneurs, and changemakers whose influence extends far beyond headlines, box office, or chart success. The awards arrive as Hollywood Unlocked continues to expand its footprint in media and culture. In a recent conversation with The Griot's Natasha S. Alford, Lee reflected on building his own seat at the table and growing the platform into something larger than celebrity news. That vision was reflected throughout Thursday night's ceremony, which highlighted not only entertainers, but also leaders whose work has created opportunity for others. For Lee, the Impact Awards represent something bigger than a red carpet event. The annual gathering has evolved into one of the most visible celebrations of Black achievement outside traditional Hollywood institutions, recognizing people who have leveraged their platforms to create lasting change within Black communities. That mission was evident in this year's honorees. Few figures embody Black ownership and self-determination in entertainment quite like Perry. Over the past two decades, he has built one of the largest independently owned production empires in the country, creating jobs and opportunities for countless Black actors, writers, and filmmakers, while proving that success does not have to come through traditional Hollywood gatekeepers. LaBelle's impact spans generations. With a career that stretches more than six decades, The Grammy-winning singer has remained one of black music's most beloved and enduring voices, while successfully expanding into television, publishing, and business ventures. Her longevity has made her a blueprint for artists seeking to build careers that outlast trends. Good's recognition highlights a different kind of legacy: reinvention. After entering the industry as a child actress, she has successfully navigated multiple eras of Hollywood while evolving into a producer, entrepreneur, and leading woman whose career continues to grow. Together, the honorees tell a larger story about what success looks like in Black America. While their paths differ, each has built something designed to last: a studio, a cultural legacy, a media platform, or a body of work that continues to inspire the next generation. As conversations about representation, ownership, and economic empowerment continue across the entertainment industry, the Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards serve as a reminder that black influence extends far beyond the spotlight. The people being celebrated are not just shaping culture, they are building institutions, creating opportunities, and helping define what the future of black excellence can look like. And for many in attendance, that's what impact really means. This article was titled, "Megan Good, Patti LaBelle, and Tyler Perry Honored at Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards Celebrating Black Excellence," written by Bobby Penn, The Griot, June 7th, 2026. Next, another article from The Voice titled, "Gooch, G-O-O-C-H, Enters Kansas House District 84 Race, Challenging Incumbent Ford Carr, C-A-R-R," written by Ty Davis, T-Y, Wichita Reporter, June 1st, 2026. Longtime community advocate, journalist, and business owner Bonita Gooch has entered the race for Kansas House District 84, setting up a Democratic primary contest against incumbent Representative Ford Carr, C-A-R-R. Gooch filed shortly before Monday's deadline, saying her decision came after months of encouragement from community members who urged her to bring her decades of advocacy and leadership into elected office. "I didn't arrive at this decision lightly," Gooch said, "but this is a time when people are looking for leadership they can trust, leadership that listens, and leadership that can bring people together to move our community forward." Gooch is well known throughout Wichita and Kansas as the publisher and owner of the Community Voice, which has served communities across the state for nearly three decades. Through her work as a journalist, business owner, and community leader, she has advocated for greater economic opportunity, improved health care access, stronger neighborhoods, educational achievement, and civic engagement. A Wichita native, Gooch comes from a family with a long history of public service and civic involvement. Her father, the late U.L. Gooch, was a respected businessman, community leader, and elected official whose work helped shape generations of leadership in Wichita. Gooch has also built a reputation of her own through decades of community involvement, journalism, and civic engagement. Gooch said her campaign is rooted in the belief that public service begins with accountability, integrity, and trust. "People deserve representatives who are accessible, responsive, and focused on results," she said. "For nearly 30 years, I've had a front row seat to government at every level. I've covered public policy, interviewed elected officials, followed the issues that matter most to families, and listened to the concerns of residents throughout our community. Those experiences have prepared me to serve. District 84 covers much of Northeast Wichita and includes neighborhoods where Gooch has spent decades reporting on issues affecting residents and advocating for solutions through her journalism and community involvement. Carr was appointed to the seat in September 2022, following the death of longtime Representative Gail Finney, F-I-N-N-E-Y, and subsequently won election to the position without opposition in both 2022 and 2024. During the 2025 legislative session, Carr was the subject of a House disciplinary investigation that generated statewide attention. The matter ended without lawmakers reaching consensus on more serious sanctions. Gooch said voters are looking for thoughtful leadership that can build relationships, earn trust, and effectively advocate for the district in Topeka. For years, I've helped tell our community's stories, highlight challenges, and celebrate successes, she said. Serving in the legislature is an opportunity to take that work a step further. I've spent decades informing, connecting, and advocating for people. I believe those experiences have prepared me to represent District 84 with integrity, accountability, and a deep understanding of the issues facing our community. This isn't a new direction for me. It's the next step in a lifetime of service and advocacy. The August Democratic primary will give District 84 voters their first contested race for the seat in years and offer residents a choice between the incumbent and a candidate whose career has been dedicated to informing, engaging, and advocating for the community. This article was titled, Gooch Enters Kansas House District 84 Race, Challenging Incumbent Ford Carr, written by Ty Davis, The Voice, Wichita Reporter, June 1st, 2026. Next, an article from The Voice, titled Earth, Wind, and Fire's Story, Takes Center Stage in New HBO Documentary, by The Voice News Service, June 8, 2026. For nearly six decades, Earth, Wind, and Fire has blended R&B, funk, soul, jazz, and pop into a sound that has crossed generations and musical boundaries. Now, a new HBO documentary, Earth, Wind, and Fire, to be Celestial versus That's the Weight of the World, takes viewers inside the band's remarkable journey from its founding in 1969 to its place as one of the most influential groups in music history. The documentary premiered June 7th and features rare archival footage, recordings, and photographs, and written materials along with reflections from surviving members and the estate of founder Maurice White. The documentary carries the distinctive touch of filmmaker and musician Quest Love, the drummer and bandleader of The Roots, who has emerged as one of the most respected documentary directors working today. Quest Love won the 2022 Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature for Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, which uncovered and celebrated the largely forgotten 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival. He followed that success with Sly Lives, aka The Burden of Black Genius, a documentary Examining the life and influence of Sly Stone. Known for connecting music to broader stories of black culture, history, and social change, Questlove brings that same perspective to Earth, Wind, and Fire's story, exploring not only the band's hit songs, but also Maurice White's spiritual vision, artistic innovation, and lasting influence on generations of musicians. According to band members, White established three guiding principles when he created Earth, Wind, and Fire: write music for a universal audience, help elevate human consciousness, and use music to make the world better. His vision was spot on musically and culturally, Bassett Verdine White recently told NPR. The film traces the group's rise from a talented but relatively unknown act to international superstardom. One of the pivotal moments highlighted is the band's appearance at the 1979 California Jam Festival, where they performed before a massive rock-oriented audience. "We were thoroughly embraced," drummer Ralph Johnson recalled. "They loved what we did." That performance helped demonstrate that Earth, Wind, and Fire's music could connect with audiences far beyond traditional genre boundaries. The group's catalog includes some of the most recognizable songs in popular music, including September, Shining Star, Boogie Wonderland, and Sing a Song. Along the way, the band became one of the best-selling musical acts of all time and earned 6 Grammy Awards from 17 nominations. Singer Philip Bailey describes Maurice White as the pilot of the plane, crediting him with guiding the band through its most successful years. Like many long-running groups, Earth, Wind, and Fire faced challenges. The band went on hiatus in the mid-1980s, allowing members to pursue solo projects before eventually reuniting. Through lineup changes and the loss of several original members, the group has continued performing and recording. Today, Bailey, Verdine White, and Johnson remain active under the Earth, Wind, and Fire name, bringing the music to new generations of fans. At the documentary's Los Angeles premiere, the three musicians were asked what advice they would give their younger selves just starting out in the music business. Their answer was unanimous. "I would say, hold on, we're going for a ride," Bailey said. "It'll get a little bumpy at times," Johnson added, "but we're going to come out smooth on the other end." The message reflects the story told throughout the documentary, one of perseverance, creativity, and faith in a vision that began nearly 60 years ago and continues to resonate around the world. For longtime fans, the film offers a behind-the-scenes look at the making of a legendary band. For younger viewers, it serves as an introduction to a group whose music and message remain as relevant today as when Maurice White first imagined Earth, Wind, and Fire's celestial journey. The documentary can be streamed on HBO Max. This article was titled, "Earth, Wind, and Fire's Story Takes Center Stage in New HBO Documentary" by The Voice News Service, The Voice, June 8, 2026. The next article is from Blavity and is titled, "Masters of the Universe's Stars Say Scaling the Franchise for the Big Screen Was Due to Character Work" by Trey Mangum, TREYMANGUM, May 22, 2026. Camila Mendez, CAMILAMENDES, and Idris Elba, IDRISELBA, are helping bring one of pop culture's most beloved father-daughter dynamics to the life in Masters of the Universe. In director Travis Knight's live-action adaptation, Mendes stars as Teela, T-E-E-L-A, while Elba portrays Duncan, also known as Man-at-Arms. The film picks up after years of separation and devastation on Eternia, E-T-E-R-N-I-A, with the pair navigating not only war and survival, but also the emotional distance that formed between them over time. For Mendes, understanding what happened in the years audiences don't initially see was key to grounding Teela emotionally. I talked to Travis a lot about that to understand, Mendes said. A lot of years passed between what we see in the beginning and what we see in the middle of the film. And my understanding was just that after Eternia was destroyed, after Eternia is destroyed, Teela has spent the last however many years fighting with the rebellion, trying to restore Eternia and protect it, she continued, and feeling very disconnected from her father, who has given up on the fight. Elba explained that Duncan's emotional collapse following Eternia's destruction shaped much of how he approached the character. There was a lot of discussion about what happens to him, Elba said. I mean, he fails drastically, turns to the bottle, but he also just wants to be the shining emblem to his daughter that he always was and he couldn't. He got destroyed in that fight. I think he got hurt badly, physically as well. Trapjaw did some things, he added. So I think there was a psychological impact to him, and that was what I fed into his drinking, the way he looked, and then essentially how he discovers himself again. Despite the tension between Teela and Duncan, both actors emphasize that love and mutual respect remain at the center of their relationship. First of all, there's no man explaining with Camilla, okay? That ain't happening, Elba joked. And then there was certainly that dynamic between the two of them. But there's always love at the heart of it, even when she's snappy with him. I think there's love. Deep down, there's a lot of respect, because I feel like she wants him to be proud of her, she said. I really feel that she's become this tough fighter because she wants him to look at her and be like, wow, look at the strong daughter that I raised. Directed by Travis Knight, Masters of the Universe stars Nicholas Galitzine, G-A-L-I-T-Z-I-N-E, Camila Mendes, Allison Brie, B-R-I-E, James Purefoy, P-U-R-E-F-O-Y, Morena Baccarin, M-O-R-E-N-A, B-A-C-C-A-R-I-N, Johannesson, J-O-H-A-N-N-E-S, H-A-U-K-U-R, J-O-H-A-N-N-E-S-S-O-N, Charlotte Riley, Kristen Wiig, W-I-I-G, and the voice of Roboto, Jared Leto, and Idris Elba. In Masters of the Universe, Prince Adam Galitzine returns to Eternia after 15 years to find the kingdom overtaken by Skeletor, Leto. To save his world, Adam teams up with Teela and Duncan and embraces his destiny as He-Man. This article was titled, Masters of the Universe's Stars Say Scaling the Franchise for the Big Screen Was Due to Character Work by Trey Mangum, Blavity, May 22nd, 2026. The next article is titled, Lynn Whitfield Doesn't Do Broke, by K. Wicker, W-I-C-K-E-R, The Griot, June 3rd, 2026. If you've ever noticed that Lynn Whitfield rarely plays a woman worried about making rent, you're not alone. Whitfield has been on the scene for nearly 5 decades, and in that time, she has brought to life some of black culture's most regal and intense women. through one prestigious television drama after another, she's built a reputation as the sophisticated, intimidatingly powerful woman at the center of the plot. She's been Josephine Baker, the femme fatale Brandy Webb in A Thin Line Between Love and Hate, Galleria Gabrialdi's mother, Dorothea, in The Cheetah Girls, and of course, the fearsome matriarch Lady Mae Greenleaf in Greenleaf. But she hasn't been broke, or at least very rarely. So much so that it's what fans have come to expect whenever her name is attached to a project. When the trailer for her upcoming Peacock film, Malcolm D. Lee's Strung, dropped, seeing her command the scene as a fierce, wealthy matriarch in a single frame was enough for many viewers to sign on for its release. This penchant for playing wealthy powerhouses is also something she's fully embraced in her career. During the panel, Peacock's Strung from Script to Screen, the 30th Annual American Black Film Festival last week, where the film also made its debut, the 73-year-old actress admitted she's well aware of the reputation. After moderator Alexis Frazier of WPLG asked whether it's written into her contract that she won't play a broke character, Whitfield joked that fans don't want to see her play a broke character. Black women want to see themselves, even the aspirational parts of themselves, she said. Those characters resonate with them and the complexity of the glamour. She then teased that she doesn't necessarily want to play a slave to demonstrate the range of black characters, because we've seen enough of those. In the upcoming erotic thriller, Whitfield stars alongside Chloe Bailey, Lucien Laviscount, Laviscount, Anna Diop, Diop, Romy Woods, Romy, and Coco Jones as a matriarch of great status and wealth, a role that will feel familiar to many fans of her work. The actress, who hails from Baton Rouge, comes by it honestly. Born in the 1950s to a dentist and composer father and a finance agency executive mother, she grew up in a prominent black family. Her mother eventually served as president of the Louisiana Finance Agency, while her father helped found a local theater, where she first caught acting bug. That passion took her to Howard University, where she earned a degree in theater before becoming involved in Washington, D.C.'s theater scene. By the late 1980s, she had made her way onto television screens across America, and after winning an Emmy Award for her portrayal of Baker in 1991, she cemented her status in the cultural zeitgeist as the queen of playing complex, glamorous black women. In HBO's The Josephine Baker Story, Whitfield brought to life one of history's most fascinating and glamorous black women, a figure brimming with talent and ambition. In 1997's Eve's Bayou, she portrayed a prominent and protective mother. Then in the 1998 miniseries The Wedding, based on Dorothy West's classic novel of the same name, she stepped into the role of the notorious elitist Corrine Coles, the mother figure at the center of the Martha's Vineyard set drama. More recently, in The Chai, she stole the show as the sophisticated old matriarch, Alicia. Beyond their station in life, all these women possess qualities that are very real. Beauty, ambition, joy, grit, determination, power, education, hard-won status, cunning, and class. They embody many of the things, as Whitfield noted, that black women aspire to have themselves. Through these characters, black women also get to see the difficult parts of themselves that they're often taught or encouraged to suppress. Perhaps the real appeal of Whitfield's character is not that she lives in a mansion or arrives on screen draped in designer labels. It's that she takes up space. Her characters are often the smartest person in the room, or at least the person most convinced they are. They don't apologize for wanting power, respect, love, attention, legacy, or control. They scheme, they seduce, they get jealous, they rage, and boy, do some of them crash out. In a culture that often rewards black women for shrinking themselves, Whitfield has built a career out of portraying women who refuse to. The glamour may get audiences to turn to the right channel, but it's the audacity that keeps them watching. While reflecting on her regal repertoire during the panel, Whitfield added, "We are not a monolith, and there are so many facets of us. We are such beautiful people." This article was titled, "Lynn Whitfield Doesn't Do Broke," written by Kay Wicker, The Griot, June 3rd, 2026. Next, a special article from BBC Sport regarding the FIFA World Cup. And it's titled, "Who Are the Ghana Players England Should Look Out For?" Written by Paul Birch, B-I-R-C-H, BBC Sport journalist, June 23rd, 2026. Ghana had a troubled build-up to the World Cup after coach Otto Addo, O-T-T-O-A-D-D-O, was dismissed following a string of poor results just 72 days before the start of the tournament. The experienced Carlos Queiroz was drafted in to take charge for his fifth successive World Cup, following stints with Portugal and Iran. He will have been delighted with his team's start, a last-gasp victory over Panama, raising hopes of a first appearance in the knockout stage since their famous run to the quarterfinals in 2010. BBC Sport takes a look at five players England needs to watch out for. Antoine Semenyo, S-E-M-E-N-Y-O. When talking about this Ghana squad, it would be remiss not to start with their star man, Manchester City winger Antoine Semenyo. He arrived at the World Cup fresh from finishing third in the Premier League's Golden Boot standings for 2025-26 after scoring 17 goals across spells at Bournemouth and Manchester City. He fitted in seamlessly at Etihad Stadium after his £65 million January move and helped the club with two trophies, scoring the winning goal at the FA Cup final. Genuinely two-footed over the past two Premier League campaigns, he has had 103 shots with his left foot and 95 with his right, and played equal minutes across both wings. It's therefore a real anomaly that he has only scored 3 goals in 35 internationals for Ghana and just 1 in his past 28 caps. Caleb Yerenki, C-A-L-E-B-Y-I-R-E-N-K-Y-I. One of Europe's sought-after young midfielders, Yerenki added to his valuation when he scored a 94th minute winner in Ghana's opening match against Panama. Former Black Stars coach Addo used the box-to-box midfielder out of position at right back, but new boss Queiroz has restored the 20-year-old to the position in which he has excelled at club level. Among midfielders in the Danish top flight in 25-26, Yerenki led the way for possession, won in the opposition's final third, 26, and ball recoveries, 205, while he ranked third across all players for successful passes in the opposition half. Jordan Ayew, AYEW. AYEW became Ghana's record cap holder in their opening match against Panama, overtaking the previous mark of 120 set by his brother Andre. When Jordan made captain in 2025, he said it was written in the stars as he joined both his legendary father, Abedi Pele, A-B-E-D-I-P-E-L-E, and his brother in having led the Black Stars. Chasing his first World Cup goal at his third tournament, AYEW, 34, has scored 14 times in his past 22 caps, including a hat trick in qualifying against Central African Republic. He actually scored more goals in qualifying for this World Cup, 7 in 10, than he did for Leicester City in 2025-26, 6 in 45. The Foxes released him after being relegated for the second successive season. Brandon Thomas Asante, A-S-A-N-T-E. The versatile forward who can play anywhere along the front line forced his way into Ghana's World Cup squad after an impressive season at Coventry. He scored 13 goals in their championship title winning campaign, behind only Haji Wright, H-A-G-I, among his teammates. Born in Milton Keynes, K-E-Y-N-E-S, Thomas Asante came through their academy and played for the likes of Ebbs Fleet, Oxford City, and Salford City before moving to the championship with West Brom and then the Sky Blues. He made an immediate impact in Ghana's opening game against Panama, coming off the bench to set up Caleb Yinkeri's winner. He's renowned for his dance moves and used to perform in a street dance group. His initiation dance in front of the Ghana squad went viral. Kamaldeen Suleimana, K-A-M-A-L-D-E-E-N, S-U-L-E-M-A-N-A. Suleimana was officially the fastest player at the Qatar World Cup after being clocked at 22.2 miles per hour. His former Southampton teammate and renowned speed merchant, Theo Walcott, described him as the quickest player he ever played with. The left winger, who can also play as a center forward or playmaker, is known for his dribbling skills. But question marks have been raised about his end product. He last scored for club side Atalanta in February and has only netted once in 29 caps for Ghana. He swapped the championship for the Champions League when he left Southampton last summer to move to Italy. This article was titled, Who Are the Ghana Players England Should Look For? Written by Paul Birch, BBC Sport, June 23rd, 2026. The next article is another special from AARP Online and is titled, Eight Common Medications That Can Cause Weight Gain and How to Manage It. Written by Kimberly Goad, G-O-A-D, AARP, June 15th, 2026. Key takeaways. Weight gain from medications can worsen conditions such as osteoarthritis and high blood pressure. Some drugs add pounds quickly at the start of treatment. Others do so gradually through changes in appetite, metabolism, or fluid retention. Weight-related side effects can make people less likely to stick with their prescriptions, which can undermine treatment. Almost any medication can cause side effects, one of which is weight gain. This isn't just a cosmetic concern. Even small increases in weight can affect your health and, in some cases, interfere with recovery from the very condition you're trying to treat. Weight gain may not seem critical, especially when treating serious conditions, but even modest gains, 5 to 20 pounds, can be associated with negative health outcomes. A study published in JAMA shows obesity increases the risk of heart disease, stroke, and death, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For patients who have other medical conditions, osteoarthritis, or high blood pressure, for example, The excess weight can potentially worsen them, says Dr. John Batsis, B-A-T-S-I-S, an associate professor in the Division of Geriatric Medicine and the Department of Nutrition at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. 8 medications that could cause weight gain. Diabetes drugs. Maintaining a healthy weight is an important part of any treatment for type 2 diabetes, but some of the drugs prescribed to help manage the condition often result in weight gain. Diabetes drugs that may cause weight gain include injectable insulin. Insulin is a hormone that works with helping the body's cells absorb glucose, but insulin causes a spike in weight when the cells absorb too much glucose and the body converts it into fat. Not everyone with type 2 diabetes takes insulin, but insulin isn't the only type 2 treatment that carries this side effect. Sulfonylureas, S-U-L-F-O-N-Y-L-U-R-E-A-S, such as glyburide, glipizide, and glimepiride, reduce blood sugar levels by 20%, but they can also cause a weight gain of 4 to 5 pounds on average, according to a study published in Archives of Medical Science. That's because they stimulate beta cells in the pancreas to release insulin. What to do? These medications are often commonplace in diabetes management, but there are newer medications that promote weight loss and should be considered. Batsis says, the class of type 2 diabetes drugs known as glucagon-like peptide, GLP-1, agonist, can cause patients to lose a significant amount of weight, 15 to 20% of their body weight. Two of the common drugs in this class are semaglutide, Ozempic, and Mounjaro. Metformin is also linked to a modest weight loss. Talk to your doctor if you're concerned. Antidepressants. If you've been on an antidepressant for a while and you've put on weight, it could be a sign of improved mood if weight loss was a symptom of your depression. Significant weight gain, on the other hand, is likely a side effect of the medication, especially if you're taking an SSRI, selective serotonin uptake inhibitor, the most commonly prescribed class of antidepressants. These medications increase the amount of serotonin in your brain, which is a key neurotransmitter involved in depression. But Cease says, serotonin, though, is also implicated in the biological and neurotransmitter process that regulates weight and appetite. There are many serotonin receptors, but at a high level, they interfere with this process. Antidepressants that may cause weight gain include paroxetine, Paxil, Zoloft, and Celexa. What to do? With many second generation antidepressants, there is often no weight gain. Some, such as bupropion, Wellbutrin, may even result in weight loss, but Cis says, echoing the results of research in the journal Diabetes, Metabolic Syndrome and Obesity. Bupropion is less likely to cause weight gain when coupled with naltrexone. Vivitrol is a potential treatment for obesity. Yet in older adults, bupropion, while safe, needs to be counterbalanced with other medical issues, as it may have more central nervous system side effects. Weight neutral options, which don't make you gain or lose weight, include Prozac and Lexapro. Beta blockers. Beta blockers work slowly by slowing the heart rate, the heart's workload, and its output of blood, all which lowers blood pressure. That's why they're often prescribed to treat hypertension, angina, and irregular heartbeat. If you're on a beta block, no one has to tell you the side effects, including fatigue, insomnia, and a slow heartbeat. All of those can add up to a less physically active lifestyle, which, no surprise, may result in extra weight. Oral corticosteroids are prescribed for everything from severe allergy rashes to rheumatoid arthritis, but they come with side effects, among them weight gain, the culprit, fluid retention. Electrolyte lead to water retention, explains Dr. Devika Umashankar, D-E-V-I-K-A UMASHANKER, Medical Director for Obesity Medicine at the Hartford Healthcare Comprehensive Weight Management Program. Oral steroids also reduce the body's sensitivity to insulin, leading to insulin resistance, she says. That in turn ramps up production of the hunger hormone ghrelin, GHRELIN, which stimulates appetite. What to do? To avoid weight gain, Umashankar, UMASHANKER, recommends a diet rich in low glycemic foods such as fruits and vegetables, beans, minimally processed grains, low-fat dairy, and nuts, all which are slowly digested and absorbed, causing a slower and smaller rise in blood sugar levels. Avoid unnecessary use of corticosteroids, which are commonly prescribed at urgent care centers for allergies and upper respiratory and migraine meds. Talk about a vicious cycle. People at healthy weight who also experience migraines have about a 3% chance of developing chronic headaches. For people who are overweight and for people with obesity, the chance of chronic migraine is 3 to 5 times greater. What to do? If you're on a migraine preventive medication that's causing weight gain, talk to your doctor about switching to one that has the potential to suppress appetite, such as Topamax, T-O-P-A-M-A-X, Zonegran, Z-O-N-E-G-R-A-N, Vivactil, V-I-V-A-C-T-I-L, along with Qsymia, Q-S-Y-M-I-A, antihistamines. It's easy to assume that over-the-counter meds don't carry serious side effects because they're so readily available. But just because something is available without a prescription doesn't mean it's risk-free. Research suggests that taking an antihistamine on a regular basis to treat allergies, for instance, can result in weight gain. Antihistamines that may cause weight gain include Periectin, P-E-R-I-A-C-T-I-N, Zyrtec, Z-Y-R-T-E-C, Allegra, Claridex, C-L-A-R-I-N-E-X. The major study which demonstrates the relationship between antihistamines and weight gain comes from the journal Obesity, Umashankar says. It reveals that men who use antihistamines had an average weight of 214 pounds versus 192 for those not on antihistamines, and women had an average weight of 176 pounds on antihistamines versus 166 pounds for those not on antihistamines. Why? Histamine, a chemical in the body known to be a key player in allergic responses, decreases hunger by affecting the appetite control center in the brain. So it makes sense that an antihistamine would have the opposite effect, interfering with the I'm full signal coming from the rest of the body, according to the Obesity Medicine Association. What to do? Talk to your doctor about which antihistamine may be best for you. Generally, if your allergies are sinus related, you can try nasal saline or a steroid nasal spray, as they don't have systemic side effects. Anti-epilepsy drugs. A review of research published in Epilepsia, E-P-I-L-E-P-S-I-A, suggests that people with epilepsy, a brain disorder that causes seizures, exercised less and tended to have obesity, even if their seizures were under control. Conventional wisdom suggested that a fear of doing anything that could provoke a seizure would figure into why people with epilepsy are less inclined to be physically active. But anti-epilepsy drugs have been shown to play a significant role in weight gain. Depakene, D-E-P-A-K-E-N-E, Neurontin, NEURONTIN, Lyrica, LYRICA, and Carbatrol, CARBATROL. What to do? If you're taking any of these and experiencing weight gain, talk to your doctor about possible alternatives, such as Topamax, TOPAMAX, or Zonegran, ZONEGRAN, both of which are also prescribed for migraines and associated with weight loss. Antipsychotics. People with mental health disorders are 2 to 3 times more likely to have obesity, meaning a body mass index, BMI, of 30 or more, than the general population. Making matters worse, these types of drugs impair glucose function and increase cholesterol and triglycerides, putting patients more at risk for developing metabolic syndrome, according to a review of research in the Neuropsychiatric Disease and Treatment. Keep in mind that everybody is different, he hastens to add. While we can generalize, these medications may affect different individuals in different ways. Why do some medications cause weight gain? The source of what causes weight gain varies among medications. Some may increase your appetite, tempting you to eat more, resulting in a few pounds creeping on. Might slow your metabolism down so calories aren't burned as quickly. Certain classes of drugs may make your body retain water. Although this wouldn't mean you've put on fat, it will make you weigh more when you hit the scale. In other instances, the way your body stores and absorbs sugar and other nutrients may be affected. Research suggests a growing number of people taking drugs that cause weight gain, most notably for conditions that are exacerbated by excess weight, including heart disease and type 2 diabetes. Drawing on data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, what to do if medications cause weight gain? If switching meds isn't an option, that doesn't mean you're powerless over the extra pounds. Consider meeting with a registered dietitian who can help you learn how to make healthier food choices. Getting more exercise can also help treat weight gain, especially a combination of cardio such as brisk walking and strength training. Countering medication-induced weight loss is difficult, Baptiste says. Trying to engage individuals in health promotion efforts is key. Although it may be tempting to turn to an anti-obesity drug to lose the unwanted pounds, but Cease recommends against doing so. Treating side effects of one medication with another can be problematic and can lead to what we term polypharmacy, he says. That in and of itself can lead to adverse events. This article was titled, 8 Common Medications That Can Cause Weight Gain and How to Manage It, by Kimberly Goad, AARP, updated June 15, 2026. That's all the time we have for the African American Hour. My name is Rosemary Holloway. Thanks for joining us.